Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves at the very, very bottom, the last line of Tet Vav Amud Aleph. That's 15a. We are discussing a series of 13 restrictions that are incumbent upon a mourner, things that they must do to show their mourning and things they must not do in order to show that they're mourners. And we're asking questions on those things. Do they also apply to a menuda, a person who's been excommunicated by the community? Do they apply to a mitzora, a person that has to leave the camp because they have this tzaras disease? So we're continuing on in that series. This next one says, Avel chayav bikfiat hamita. A mourner is required to flip their bed over, upside down. Tani bar kapara, as bar kapara taught. Now we flip the amud to tet vav amud bet. Bar kapara taught, Dmut diukni natati bahen. This is speaking in first person for Hashem. My own image I gave to them, uba'avonotehem, and because of their sins, hafachtia, they have flipped over my image. Kafu mitotehen aleha. So because of this, we flip our beds over as well. Now this sounds like we're talking about sins, but we're talking about death and how the first sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden brought death into the world, or perhaps how our sins shorten our lifespans or prevent Mashiach from coming, whatever it is exactly. But the idea that human beings are given the image of God and then they die is a flipping over of the reality of the image of God. And Rashi writes, "Dmut diukni," that the image of my likeness refers to Tzelem Elohim, to the image of God. Now, this practice is not done anymore. We are not Nohig, not Ashkenazim, and not Sephardim, to flip the beds over. And in the Shulchan Aruch, in Yordea, Simen Shin Pei Zion, it talks about it. And he says, Achshav, in Sif Bet, it says, Achshav lo nagu bikfiat hamita. We don't do it anymore. And he gives two reasons why. One reason is that the idolaters will say that this is a form of witchcraft or sorcery, that we flip our beds over. And the second, he says that our beds are not like their beds and you can't flip them over. Now, I don't know what beds were like in the time of the Shulchan Aruch. We did discuss this earlier in our tractate, that perhaps they were mattresses that were suspended from ropes that were connected to the wall, in which case it would be hard to flip them over. But most of our beds in 21st century America could be easily be flipped over, but it is not our custom to do so. There is, however, an outcome of flipping the bed over. In other words, that ma'aseh, flipping the bed over, is something we don't do. But the outcome of flipping the bed over was that you had no place to sit. And because of this, the understanding is that the flipping over the bed was so that the mourners would sit and sleep on the floor. So it's not our custom to sleep on the floor at all. Mourners sleep in their beds. However, it is our custom that mourners sit on the floor. Not exactly, because the posim discuss it and say it doesn't have to exactly be on the floor. You can put a cushion underneath you. Or our custom is to get these very low chairs, like children's chairs or shiva chairs now, that are close to the floor, within a few tefachim of the floor, but are not full-sized benches or chairs. So our custom related to kfiat hamita is that we do still sit on low chairs, even though we don't do the action of flipping over the bed. There is another possibility for how kfiat hamita comes into practice. Rabbi Soloveitchik connected kfiat hamita to covering the mirrors in a shiva house. Based on this Rashi, that it says B'Tzelem Elohim, that flipping the bed over is symbolic of the flipping over of the image of God, you'd say that looking into a mirror, when you look into a mirror and see your reflection, you see the B'Tzelem Elohim, or the Dmut Diukni of Hashem. And therefore, in a shiva house, it would make sense to cover those mirrors so you don't look at the image of God reflected in the mirrors. So that would be an outgrowth of something that we still do. And covering the mirrors is clearly not mentioned here in our Gemara, but it would be an outgrowth of kfiat hamita. Rav Ovadia Yosef gives a different explanation for why we cover the mirrors in a shiva house. He says that it's a din in synagogues, that if you're having minyanim in the shiva house, synagogue is not supposed to have mirrors, and therefore you cover the mirrors because it is a official place for prayer. So that is a different way of looking at it that has nothing to do with shiva and everything to do with davening. Okay, so Gemara in its way now asks, Menuda u'mitzora, what about an excommunicate and a mitzora? Mahein b'kfiat tamita, do they have to flip their beds? Teku, we're not sure. We'll wait for Eliyahu. The next law is, Avel asur ba'asiyat melacha, the mourner is forbidden to do melacha, to do labor. Dichtiv, as is written, V'hafachti chagichem le'evel, this is written in Amos chapter 8, Hashem is telling them through Amos, I will flip. So it's using the similar language that we used before of like kfiat hamita. V'hafachti chagichem le'evel, I will flip your holidays into mourning. So we've seen this verse before, and we'll see it again, actually. Later on, it's used as a proof that Shiva is 7 days, just like a chag is 7 days. So too, Shiva should be 7 days, or the mourning period should be 7 days. But here we learn in a different way. Ma chag asor b'malacha, just as the holiday that's now being transformed into mourning, you're not allowed to do malacha. And then af avel asor b'malacha, so also a mourner is not allowed to do malacha. And the question is whether or not malacha is the same definition of malacha as Shabbos and Yom Tov. Even Shabbos and Yom Tov are not exactly the same. And it doesn't seem to be the case. First of all, as we'll see, there are some exceptions to the rule. You may be able to do some work at night that you can't do during the day, or some work privately that you can't do publicly. And that would not be true of most of the laws of Shabbos and Yom Tov. In addition, there are distinctions between the first 3 days of mourning and the subsequent days of mourning and other things like that. So it seems like the definition of malacha here is much more related to the laws of Chol HaMoed. They're not quite as strict as Shabbos and Yom Tov. Many things overlap, but they have to do more with tircha and with other aspects that are more important to us on Chol HaMoed that are not as strictly defined as the laws of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, the Gemara continues. Menu the mahu basiyat malacha. What about an excommunicate? Can they do work? Rav Yosef Tashma, Rav Yosef says, come and learn. Kisha amru asur basiyat malacha, lo amru el bayom. When they said you can't do malacha, it only meant you can't do it in the daytime. Ava balayla mutar, but at night it's permitted to do malacha. V'cheinatam in motze b'menuda u'ba'avel. And so you'll also find that is true with an excommunicate and with a mourner, which seems to indicate that the same rule of not doing malacha applies both to a menuda and to an avel, and it only applies in the daytime, but not at nighttime. So the Gemara dismisses this proof, says, my lava kulhu, what is it, why is it not referring to all of them? Here again, we're going back to talking about the Jewish people when there's a drought and they're fasting for rain. Are we referring to the whole list of things that they did? Lo ashara, no, we're referring to only the other things. In other words, you're trying to say that when it says kimenuda uba avel, like bimenuda uba avel, like with an excommunicate and with an avel, that we're specifically referring to doing malacha, but no, we're actually referring to the other things that these people have to do, such as, let's say, rechitza, washings. Those are the ways in which it's being connected to a menuda, but not necessarily the doing of malacha. Tashma, come and listen. Menuda shona v'shonin lo. Menuda is allowed to teach Mishnayot and to be taught Mishnayot. Niskar v'niskarin lo, he can hire work and he can be hired out as work. Shema mina, come to learn. Basically, based on that brisa, we learn here that a excommunicate can do work because he can be hired out as a laborer. Mitzora mahu basiyat malacha. Can a mitzora do work during their mitzora period? Teku, we're not sure. The next halacha is washing, bathing. Avel asur b'chitza, the mourner is forbidden to bathe. Dichtiv, as it says back in the pasuk of Shmuel with Yoav and the woman who was wearing mourning clothing. V'al tasuchi shem, and he tells her, don't put oil on your skin. Urechitza b'chal sika, and rechitza is the same category as sika. Halachically, the putting of oil on your skin, which what they would do is they would put oil on their skin and then they would use some kind of a sharp razor to rub it off, and it was a way of clearing the pores, getting the dirt out, exfoliating. It's something that we don't do anymore, but they did it in the times of the Greeks. So it's kind of similar to bathing, and just bathing uses water instead of oil. Menuda mahu b'chitza, what about a excommunicate, can they bathe? Amar Yosef Tashma, kisha amru asor berchitza, when we said that you're not allowed to bathe, lo amru elakol gufo, it said only that you can't bathe your entire body, can't jump in the shower or the bath. Avopanav yad viraglav motor, but if you wanted to wash your face by itself in isolation and then wash your hands or arms and then your legs in isolation, you're allowed to do it, you know, aver aver, section by section. And you find the same thing with an excommunicated in Avel. So it sounds like they are also forbidden to wash. But the Gemara dismisses this in the same way. My lava cool, who are you? Are we saying that they're comparing them to a menuda and a metora related to washing? No, they're referring to the other things in the list, like we said before, referring to fasting or to other aspects. It doesn't necessarily mean that they were comparing them to a menuda and a metora related to washing. Lo, ashara, no, they're referring to the other things on the list. Metzora ma'u berchitza. What about a metzora related to bathing? Teku, not sure. We're not sure if a metzora can bathe or not. Okay, the next one, we're getting towards the end of the list. Avel asor bin ilat hasandal. And avel is forbidden from wearing leather shoes. It says wearing sandals here, which means comfortable shoes or leather shoes. Going back to the pasuk in Yechezkel, the whole merciful one said to Yechezkel, v'na'alecha tasim b'raglecha, make sure to put your shoes on your feet. Michlad l'chulei alma asur. Then you can learn from everyone else, not supposed to wear shoes. Menuda mahu b'nilat sandal, does a excommunicate also not have to wear sandals? Amar Rav Yosef tashma, Rav Yosef says, come and learn. Kesha amru asur b'nilat sandal, when it says you can't wear shoes, lo amru elabir. It only said that the restriction only applies to the city. Ava baderach mutar, but when you're traveling, you can wear sandals. You need to wear sandals to protect your feet. Ha ketzad, we'll give a little more detail. What is the case exactly? Yatzal aderach, he goes out on the way. Noel nichnas la'ir choletz. So yatzal aderach noel, when he goes out on the way, he puts on his shoes for the way. And then when he goes into the city, he takes them off. Would people do this in Tisha B'Av and for as well, or even in mourning situations where they'll wear, if they don't have non-leather shoes or whatever, they'll wear shoes to shul and they'll take them off before they sit down. And you find the same thing with an excommunicate and with a mourner. My lava kulu, no, but are you saying for sure that the comparison of this Mishnah is related to Nilata Sandal? Lo, it's not referring to Nilata Sandal, Ashara. Now, we don't know what in which exact ways we are comparing these fasters who are praying for rain to mourners, but the point is, and we've already in three ways pushed it off, so, you know, if you keep doing this, it's like Russian roulette. You got to say that they're compared in some way, but the fact is we're not sure exactly in which ways these fasters are compared to mourners, and therefore we're, or to excommunicate sentimentors, and therefore we are makil. We'll stop there, three lines in the wide lines, and we'll continue in our next recording.